All right. Everybody good? Cool. Okay. Well, today we continue our series in the book of Galatians. And as we've learned, this book is actually a letter, and it's a letter written to the churches of Galatia. And it's written by the Apostle Paul. It's about six chapters long, and so we've spread those six chapters out over six Sundays. And today is the third Sunday. But the question that we're asking ourselves is, what is your life centered around? Or what is the central point in your life by your day-to-day decisions from waking up to going to bed at night, asking ourselves that question, what is my life centered around? And so in week one, we opened with Galatians 1, makes sense, and we talked about three truths of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The first one was that there's only one gospel, and we're peddled all these things as gospel truth in our world, but the reality is that there's only one, and to know what is true, we have to know the gospel. To know the gospel, we have to... Thank you. I was going to say, come on, guys. Number two, we talked about the gospel comes from God, and there are many things that we can put our faith and our trust in, but only one of them is from God. And so why would I ever center my life around something that was created by humans rather than the gospel of Jesus? And then number three was that this gospel that we are centering our lives around transforms. We looked at the evidence of the transformation in Paul's life from this higher up Jewish person who was persecuting Christians to missionary for the new kingdom of Jesus. And then that's where we left off. Then in week two, we talked about three truths out of Galatians 2, and that was that the gospel is for all. The first one was the gospel is for all, but it's not all about you. And this chapter opens with Paul going to some of these apostles and leaders of the church, and he talks to them and tells them that he's been preaching this message, and they both agreed that it was for both Jews and Gentiles. And so Paul says that they didn't see anything wrong with his message. They simply just asked if he would remember the poor and make sure that you're taking action to help those less fortunate than you. So the gospel is for all, but it's not all about you. Number two is justified by faith. We would have been, this would have been a wildly different message if the Gentiles had been hearing from the Jews, but it was all, because it was all about the law. But Paul tells us that no one will be justified by the law, but only by faith in Jesus. And then number three was righteousness through Jesus. And Paul didn't just leave them there justified. He talked about the fact that you need to also be made righteous. You do that by dying to self and being raised with Jesus, allowing Jesus to impact every corner of your life, and that's God's will for us to be followers of Jesus that are also pursuing righteousness. And so we are supposed to look more like Jesus the longer we followed him. So that's where we left off. If you've missed a couple weeks, that's Galatians 1 and 2 in a nutshell. And so we're diving into chapter 3 today, but before we do that, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever tried to do something that was impossible? Yeah, right? I think we all have, right? Maybe you've known something was impossible, but you did it anyway. I think of, you know, a little boy on his top bunk with his cape on getting ready to jump just to make sure that he can't, in fact, fly, right? Well, today I have a little, for sake of time, I'll just show you myself, but I have an activity that I'm going to show you. Did you know that it's impossible to fold a paper 10 times over itself? You can't do it, right? But if you were to offer me $100 or I were to offer you $100, what would you do? Of course, right? You would try. But I just told you it's impossible. Here's one. This is impossible, by the way. I'm not about to impress you. There's two. Here's three. We're getting small. Here's four. Here's five. There's six. And that's it. I can't even do it seven times, let alone 10. It won't break. It is impossible. But if you were going to offer me $100 to do it, I would try every time, right? Because I'm tempted by that $100. And that's not that hard of an activity. But today we're going to pick up in chapter 3 of Galatians, where, like many of us have done before, these Galatians were trying to do something that they knew was impossible, yet they're being tempted by their flesh and their old ways to just try anyway. And so we're going to read Galatians 3. We'll read the whole thing, but we're going to read 1 through 14 together. Before we jump in, I'll have you notice that I put scripture references that Paul was quoting in the passage. So there's six actual quotes in this passage, starting at verse 6, that he's quoting from Old Testament or from the Jewish law. And so he's taking quotes from the Jewish law, and either he's affirming them and affirming them along with the story of Abraham, or he's taking them and he's saying, this is now what Jesus has done. And then he kind of brings them back together at the end in verse 14. It's a really neat piece of writing. You can tell how knowledgeable Paul is on the law. And so while it is neat writing, it starts out pretty harsh still. He's good at that too. But we'll start at verse 1 and we'll read through 14 together. It says, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, you are now trying to finish by means of the flesh. Have you experienced so much in vain? If it really was in vain. So again, I ask, does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law or by believing what you've heard? So also Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So, those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. As it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Clearly, no one who relies on the law is justified before God. The righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, it says the person who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. It is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit." That was a lot, right? But we're going to unpack it. So we're going to look today at three truths from Galatians 3. So the first thing that he is talking about here is that it is impossible to work your way to righteousness. It is impossible to work your way to righteousness. So last week at the end of the message, we talked a little bit about needing Jesus for righteousness. Remember that? Okay, good. Two of you remember. We talked about needing Jesus for righteousness. We're not skilled or talented enough or good-looking enough to get there on our own. The other thing that Paul is saying is that we cannot work ourselves or follow the law into righteousness. In verse 3, this is the impossible part. They're trying to do the impossible. He says, "You've started by means of the Spirit. Why would you try and finish by means of the flesh? This is, in fact, impossible." Right? He just talked about it in chapter 2. It sounds like the Galatians had this encounter with Jesus, and they were justified by what they heard and believed and put their faith in, and then it sounds like they've fallen back on their ability to rule follow and do good works and be a good person rather than fostering this relationship with Jesus that they had started out doing. Is that relatable? Yeah, me too. I can't tell you how many times I catch myself just kind of going through the motions, right? Because it's the right thing to do. Like, I'm going to read my Bible today because that's what I should do as a Christ follower. Or I'm going to go to church today because it's Sunday and that's what I should be doing as a follower of Jesus. Or I give, right? I'm giving my tithes and offerings because it's the right thing to do as a Christ follower. Those are all good things, right? But let's be clear about our motives. Good habits are good. Reading your Bible is good. Going to church is good. Giving is good. These aren't going to get you to heaven. But sometimes we perform them like they will, right? But it's not. There's nowhere in the gospel does it say that. So the reason they won't get us to heaven is because we cannot work our way into righteousness. So these things should flow out of a love for your relationship with Jesus. So I think when we're investing in that relationship with Jesus, then the works or following the law flows out like this. I get to read my Bible today because it gives me more insight on Jesus and who he is, and I want to know more about him. Or I can't wait to go to church because it sharpens me to be with other believers who are pursuing the same righteousness, and it empowers me to go out and tell people about Jesus who's made this difference in my life, and I want them to experience this as well. Or I'm excited to give my offering today because Jesus sacrificed everything for me, and I wish I could do even more, but I'll still sacrifice for him with my time and my money and my talent and my energy. You see the difference? So the law is not necessarily a bad thing, but it isn't the thing, right? We aren't doing good works to receive righteousness. In verse 6, just like Abraham, he said, Abraham believed in God and it was credited to him as righteousness. It didn't say Abraham followed the law like a gentleman and never did anything wrong. It said he believed in God and it was credited to him as righteousness. So when we put our trust in God, the Holy Spirit starts to transform us into righteous people. And then the works flow. Works aren't bad. They're just not going to get you to righteousness. So stop trying so hard and let Jesus transform your heart and your life. It is impossible to work your way to righteousness. Number two, the law is not the promise. The law is not the promise. We're picking up in verse 15 and going through 22. So he's pretty well done referencing the law from the Old Testament at this point. He's essentially just jumping into comparing the law with Jesus. So it says this, "Brothers and sisters, let me take an example from everyday life. Just as no one can set aside or add to a human covenant that has been duly established, so it is in this case. The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. The scripture does not say, and to seeds, meaning many people, but and to your seed, meaning one person, who is Christ. What I mean is this. The law, introduced 430 years later, does not set aside the covenant previously established by God and thus do away with the promise. For if the inheritance depends on the law, then it no longer depends on the promise, but God in his grace gave it to Abraham through a promise. Why then was the law given at all? Well, it was added because of the transgressions until the seed whom the promise referred had come. The law was given through angels and entrusted to a mediator. A mediator, however, implies more than one party, but God is one. Is the law, therefore, opposed to the promises of God? Absolutely not. For if a law had been given that could impart life, then righteousness would certainly have come by the law. But Scripture has locked up everything under the control of sin so that what was promised, being given through a faith in Jesus Christ, might be given to those who believe." Interesting, right? It's a lot there. We're going through a lot of scripture today. I think it's really important to realize what Paul is saying here. He's saying sometimes we put the rules before everything else, and that is not the intention of God. The law is not the promise. You ever meet that kid when you were a kid who would like never, ever break the rules? Remember that kid? Maybe you were that kid. We're not calling anybody out. I'm sure you've grown out of it. Even worse, the tattletale. Remember that kid? Oh. Not only would this kid not break the rules, but he would tell the authorities if you were doing something against the rules. This is definitely how Jewish leadership was running their institution when Jesus shows up on the scene. They're always trying to pin Jesus down for breaking the rules, and They got after him on the Sabbath for basically preparing a snack for him and his disciples. They're really nitpicky about these rules. They've missed the heart of the law itself. And so to me, this sounds like Paul is almost doing some damage control for the Gentiles who've been witnessing the Jews being so caught up in the law. And they would memorize the law. They would know it from front to back so they could tell people when they were wrong, right? Not necessarily so they could live a better life. I mean, it's probably part of it, but they really liked letting people know when they were outside of the law. So the problem was that they were putting the law in front of the God who gave it to them. Does that make sense? Okay. So check out what Paul says in verse 17 to 19. He says, the promise of Jesus was given 430 years before the law was brought about. Then he questions if the law being put into place takes place of the promise of the Messiah. Well, no, right? Of course it doesn't. Because if it was, why would Jesus need to even come to earth and die for us? If the law was the promise, we wouldn't need Jesus. And so, why is the law there, then he asks. And he basically says, in a fancy way, it's to keep you in good standing with God until Jesus comes. It's to cover all these transgressions that keep happening until the one who is promised shows up. So what is your life centered around? Is it centered around the law or rules or habits? Or is it centered around the promise of a Messiah closing the gap between you and God and allowing you to be in good standing? See, we no longer need the law to be in good standing. Now, does that make the Old Testament obsolete? No, right? It's a story of God's faithfulness to Israel. It shows us all the prophecy of what of the creation of the world to the prophecy of Jesus, and it shows us that journey. And it also is important to still live by a lot of those laws that are in the Old Testament. It's just not the end all anymore. Think about it this way. Is it illegal to speed? Yeah, right? The country that you live in, Austin. Sorry, I'll be more specific next time. If you are driving someone to the hospital or you're late for your wedding, 10 times out of 10, that cop's going to help you break the law to get to safety, right? Yeah. Not, could you imagine if, like, you were taking somebody to the hospital and the cop pulled you over and just took you straight to jail anyway? No, right? That would never happen, even though it's against the law. Or if you stop in the middle of the road, William, and I mean, you're here this week, right? Sometimes you have to break the law for the safety, even of a baby. You can ask him about it later. All this means is that we live on the side of the story where the sacrifice has been made, and it was made through Jesus on the cross. So we don't have to make a cleansing sacrifice every time we sin. The price has been paid, so we can just confess and repent and move forward with our relationship with God, and we become more and more righteous in that process. And we do that through the power of the Holy Spirit that is given and that indwells within us. So the law is not the promise. That would be so sad if it was. When people ask you about your faith or your church, you'd have to say, well, do you like rules? And they'll say, no, have a good day, right? That's not the case. You'd have to say, my faith is in this really long list of rules from about 3,000 years ago. And they would say, that sounds like the most boring thing I've ever heard of. What we get to say is, my faith is in Jesus, who came to rescue us from sin and death and being bound by the law. Jesus is the promise. Number three, we are heirs of the promise. We are heirs of the promise. So we're going to finish up with verse 23 through 29. It says this, before the coming of this faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, male nor female, for all are one, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So the last truth is simple. Because the law is not the promise, we don't inherit the law. We inherit the promise. Isn't that good news? Yeah. I don't know if any of you have received an inheritance before, but wouldn't it stink if you opened up the envelope thinking of getting a deed to a property or an inheritance check, and it ended up just being a long list of rules that you now had to follow? You're like, wow, thank you. That's not what I needed. Right? That's not an exciting inheritance. That would be a bummer, big time. That's why it is such good news that we are heirs of the promise and children of God. This is something that was very close to Paul's heart. And in verse 23, he says, before this faith came to be, they were held in custody of the law. And Paul was on track to be a higher up in the Jewish faith, and he knew for sure the law in and out, and he was a slave to it. And now he's saying that when you're baptized in the faith of Jesus, there's no slave or free or male or female, Jew or Gentile. You're all part of this line of Abraham by placing your faith in Jesus, because he is that promise. Isn't it good to know this morning that our salvation and our relationship with Jesus and our inheritance from God isn't just a bunch of rules? It's a good feeling. I break a lot of rules. I know you guys do too. It's not fun, right? I love that we don't inherit the law. We get to inherit salvation. So we get to live and worship and rest in the freedom and grace that God gave us through the promise of Jesus. And this is good news. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, we thank you for this inheritance of the promise, for the promise being Jesus and not the law. God, we thank you for this gift, something we can't work our way to. Thank you for your grace, just totally undeserved, for the sacrifice that you made. Help us to live life centered around that sacrifice and around the promise, not the law. We just ask these things in Jesus' name this morning. Amen. Well, I'm going to give them a couple seconds to cut off the live feed.